What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. This week, I'm sitting down with Jen Benninger, and a little bit about Jen. She is the Genius Unlocked founder and CEO of Genius Unlocked Institute, a board-certified company where she coaches and mentors and transforms leaders' personal and professional lives. Through her thousands of hours of executive experience, she has refined the art of coaching others on how to delve into what's really holding them back and guiding them to successfully live in their purpose by calling on their intuition. With her deep understanding of energy work, intuition, communication skills, and mindset work, she is able to produce more breakthrough results than she or her clients could ever dream of. And on this episode, we dive into so many things around the conscious and unconscious mind. A few things you can expect is we talk about the idea of suppressing your true identity. It's a really powerful topic that we dive into. And we also talk about how can you start living in the right identity. We talk about how to stop living incongruently and the negative effects of what living incongruently can do in your life. And we also talk about the four voices that live in your head every single day and how you can start to use them to benefit your life in a positive way. So those are just a few of the things you can expect. Again, there are so many gold nuggets in this episode with Jen, so you are going to enjoy it, I promise you. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can join us every single week on this podcast. And without further ado, here we go. Jen Benninger, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Stu. I'm very excited to be here and have this conversation with your listeners today.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I figured where we could dive in is I would love it if you could start by just sharing with our listener just kind of a little sneak preview as far as like, who is Jen? What do you do? And just kind of give us like a 10,000 foot view of, you know, what do you do?
Absolutely. So yes, so I have been a full-time entrepreneur for a very, very long time. I started my first business in 1997. Oh my gosh. And what I realized I wanted to do with people is I have a degree in psychology and I've always wanted to help people. And there's so many people out in that world that is what that they think that that's their overall purpose. They're like, hey, I want to help people. And they're not exactly sure how to do that specifically. Yeah. So I went on that journey. So now the company that I own now, Genius Unlocked, that is exactly what we do, is we support all of our clients with releasing the most negative and the most vulnerable judgment they have about themselves so that they can create the life that they want. And we do that through coaching. And so I run a coaching certification company now with my business partner. And that's about what I do. So that's how I help people is I truly support them in finding what need did not get met when they were younger and what identity they suppressed. Because there's so many people out there that are like, I know I have a purpose. I know I'm supposed to be here to do whatever I'm supposed to do, but they don't realize that it is inside of them already, but it's most likely an identity that they suppressed. And so my goal in life and our clients that we help them with is uncovering that suppressed identity so that they can go out and live their purpose, know what they're supposed to be doing with this life, how specifically are they here to serve. And so that's what we do in a 10,000 foot view.
Yeah, that's beautiful and very beautifully articulated to very easy to digest. Because I know a lot of the work, and we'll maybe dive into this, that you do is it's a lot of deep work that you do with people. So I love the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So if we go to your life for a second, you know, you always had this idea that you wanted to help people. And I'm curious, when you first sort of went into the, you know, let's call it the real world, how did you first start stepping your foot towards, I'm going to help people?
Great, great question. I love that question. So like I said, I have a degree in psychology and at one point in my early 20s, I was like, I'm going to become a therapist. I want to support people in not having to deal with a lot of pain. I now specialize, you know, 20 some odd years later, specialize in trauma, PTSD, and addiction. But I didn't start there. I started with just wanting to do that. And then I realized that about before I graduated college, I was like, you know what? I want to help people faster. I don't want to have them have to relive it over and over again. So what am I going to go do there? So as I was figuring that out, as we all do, I did a stint in corporate America. I worked for, I live in the Silicon Valley. So I worked for WebMD. I worked for Specialized. I worked for a couple of companies. And I realized I was not really helping people the way that I wanted. So I did that for a minute, a hot minute. And then I also, this is a very, very important part of my story, Stu, is I got married and my husband and I at the time were struggling a lot with infertility. And I realized that it had to do with a lot of the stress. So when I was not living in my purpose, when I was not in alignment with what I was really put on this earth to do that I didn't know because that identity was suppressed, it was showing up in different situations. And so with that, we struggled for about 4 years with infertility. And finally, I made the decision. I was like, nope, I want to own my life. I love corporate America, did well. I want a family more. So I transitioned out. And of course, my oldest daughter is now 20. So it worked, right? I transitioned out and I got pregnant. But what happened? When I transitioned out, it was because I was in alignment with how I wanted to help people.
So
I first started doing business coaching. So I was a business coach. So I would help entrepreneurs or people who wanted to transition out of corporate America into a business, because that's what I did. And I knew how to do that. And so I started helping people create 6- and 7-figure businesses or multiple 6-figure businesses. Well, what happened at that point, Stu, and I'm not sure if you've ever run across this, my clients weren't doing what I was telling them to do. I was like, hey, here's the secrets. This is, if you do A through Z, you're going to have $1 million in your business. But I couldn't figure out why they weren't doing what I was telling them to do. Well, first of all, I wasn't doing what I was telling me to do. I kind of stalled out at about, you know, $200,000. I stalled out myself. That's when I realized that we had to go into the unconscious mind and find really what those blocks are. So whether you're trying to transition out of corporate or you're trying to thrive in corporate, there's blocks that are in your unconscious mind that you put in place that are keeping you from doing that. And if you want to transition, you have blocks, or if you're a full-time business owner now, about every $250,000 you have that you want to earn, you have another set of blocks. So when I figured that out, I was like, oh, this is why they're not doing what I'm telling them to do. I really dove in. I really dug into the unconscious mind work, and I started realizing what is unconscious is driving you, and what's conscious is what you want. Well, if they don't match, you keep hitting goals. You set goals you don't hit, or you make money and then you lose it. How many of you have like made money and then spent right more than you made? Like, let's say you made 100,000, but you spent 101. There's a block there. There's a block there. And so I really started diving into what is that relationship between the conscious and the unconscious mind. And that's when I became more of a holistic business and life coach with dealing with all areas of life, whether it's relationships, health, money, business, you know, intimate relationships, family, any of those situations. I started working working in that field and then really wanted to. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you give us an example of, you know, you say like the unconscious is one part of the equation, right? The conscious is like the what you want, the goals that you have. But the unconscious is really like the driving, the person in the driver's seat. And I'm curious, could you give us an example, whether it's maybe in your own life or with a client that you've worked with, where you saw this, I guess we could call it like incongruency, and how you were able to like break through that? Because I think, you know, I've experienced it in my own life for sure. I'm sure for some of our listeners, they've experienced that, where it's like you want something, but then there's this like internal resistance. So do you have an example, whether it's your own life or with a client you've worked with?
I do. I we could spend 4 hours just on those examples, but I'll start with my own life. So again, about that identity that was suppressed. So when I got married, my my husband was is still is in law enforcement, and I had a unconscious belief that I should not ever make more money than my husband. Well, where did I get that belief? I was a super unconscious. I had no idea that was in there because I've always known I was going to be an entrepreneur. Well, I started doing the work. So I was that person that would make a lot of money and then I would reinvest it back in my business, right? Yeah. I'd make a lot of money and I'm like, oh, but I have to do this. So at the end of the day, my net profit was always very, very low. My gross revenue might be high. My gross booked revenue might be high, but my net was always really low. And I couldn't figure it out. So then I started doing more and more unconscious work and I figured it out. I found where I made that decision. So I grew up with, my parents are still married, very middle America, very cookie cutter. And I was like, I don't really have any trauma in my life. Like I was trying to figure out where this came from. Well, I figured it out that everyone in my family, my aunts, my uncles, both sets of my grandparents, my parents, my brother, everyone had this conception of what it was like to be successful. Now, my mom's dad was the only entrepreneur in our family, the only entrepreneur. And I grew up hearing everybody else saying and calling my grandfather a shyster because he was an entrepreneur. So I adopted this when I was little, that being an entrepreneur meant that you were a shyster. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, my grandfather was in real estate. Okay, that is not technically when you think of the word shyster, it's not real estate, but it's that it's not a 9-to-5. My dad worked for IBM for 42 years.
Not traditional.
Not traditional. Go to college, get a job. And I couldn't figure out. So I was running this programming that I had when I was growing up, that being an entrepreneur was a shyster. So if I made too much money, if I did was too successful, then I would be perceived as a shyster.
Yeah.
So I was able to clean all that up, was able to release all of my money blocks. I would make money, lose money, make money, lose money. I was this roller coaster. Once I cleared all of that up, the thinking I couldn't make more money than my husband, because his salary is pretty set, right? And then not thinking I was a shyster, within 6 months, our business went to 7 figures. So those blocks are what is stopping you. You can want it all day long. You can want your conscious mind is the goal setter. You can want it all day long. Your unconscious mind is the goal getter. Your unconscious mind, Stu, is also your motivation. So where are you finding yourself stuck, not motivated, self-sabotaging? All of that is clues from your unconscious mind that there's something there. That once you release a block, now how do you ask me, how do you release it? Well, we have a lot of different modalities. We're a coaching institute. Yeah. We use 8 different modalities. So some of you might be familiar with some of them. Our main one that releases everything is timeline therapy, which is integrating the conscious and the unconscious mind. So your conscious mind needs to be coached to what are the goals that you're not hitting. So we use NLP coaching, we use ICF coaching, International Coaching Federation. We use all of these conscious coaching tools. They're kind of like a triangle, going up one side of the triangle. Okay, what does your conscious mind want? Well, then you have to go to your unconscious mind. What is stopping you? So that is, we use energy work, we have hypnotherapy, we do somatic coaching, we do breath work to find what is unconscious. Then you bring those together. So once you've coached yourself on the conscious mind and you understand the unconscious blocks, then you use, we have a somatic release process that taps into your body. And then we also have timeline therapy that releases it at the unconscious level using quantum physics. So it's all based in science. Dang. So we're completely obsessed with how the brain works. Like, how is your brain doing the problem?
Yeah.
So Stu, your problem that you were saying like, oh, I've had this block before. Well, guess what? Your mind does it differently than mine. We might both be making money and losing money and you're free from all that. I'm just using it as an example, Stu. I know you're very successful. Yeah. But just think about it. Those of you that are listening, what block do you have? Let's say it is around money. Money and sex are the most vulnerable places where people have most of the blocks because it's where you're the most vulnerable. So think about that. So where in your money, if you have a block around money, think about what it is. Well, guess what? Your brain is doing the problem different than mine and Stu's brain is doing the problem. Yeah. yet it appears to be money issues. So we want to really just coach people down. Not only are we coaching, we don't want to coach around the presenting problem, because that's what most people go to a coach for. They try to coach them around their presenting problem. Well, I'm not making enough money, or I'm not keeping enough money, or I want to grow my business. Well, then you got to get to the greater problem, which is what are the negative thoughts and emotions? Yeah. So what are the negative thoughts and emotions that come up from you not making the money? Oh, well, I feel abandoned. I feel sad. I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not valuable. I'm angry. I'm depressed. Okay. That's a greater problem. Still don't want to coach around that. What you want to do is say, because of all of this, what need did not get met? And what identity did you suppress that is showing up in the greater problem, which is then presenting itself in the real world as money problems?
Yeah.
And the root cause is what we call cross-contextual. So like one of my root causes was I would feel like I was going to be abandoned. Now, was I ever technically abandoned? Not necessarily, but what did happen is we moved a lot when I was growing up. First of all, my name is Jennifer, and I guarantee y'all know people my age, and there's like 9 million of us. Okay. So I was had to come up with a different name. Then we moved to all these different states, and then they would tease me about what state I lived in before. So I went from California to Colorado to New York, back to California, lived in Europe for a while. So I was always picked on because of this. And I always felt like I didn't have any security because we would just up and move again. Now, to an adult, you go, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
To a child, you create that. And I was also told that I was too loud and I like to talk a lot. Okay, great. Well, it's because my parents grew up in a very strict household where women seriously were to be seen and not heard. So what generational trauma is being projected onto you growing up? So when I released all of that and I realized, I'm like, no, I'm not loud. I'm the CEO of a multi-7-figure business. That's okay that I talked during dinner. Okay. When I was little, it's okay. Yeah. So I cleaned up my powerful, I cleaned up that I'm strong. I cleaned up that I was smart, because I would tell myself all of those things I was not. And that's what we want to find, is what is that root cause? What is that truly stopping you? Because I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, it is not that you don't know how to make money. I promise you, you can make money. And I promise you, if you want to leave your job and start a business, you can. Do you want to grow your business to multiple six and seven figures? You can. You absolutely can. You just have to find what is there and then release it and get the learnings. And that's, and that is really, truly what we do. I think that was an answer to a question, Stu, probably a little bit longer of an answer than you wanted.
Absolutely an answer. And I think it is interesting, right? I think it's a important thing for all of us to hear, right? Is it's like, if you're having a blockage, realize that that may be a problem or a symptom of the problem, really. So it's a good, it's a good thing to hear, right? It's like, where's the stuck point in your life? And maybe it's worth doing some digging and saying, like, what's really going on underneath that, right? I think that's such an interesting thing sometimes. Sometimes we say, this is the problem, but there's 3, 4, 5 layers deep, even more, that something can go. And when you fix that, everything else starts to clear up. So
beautiful.
Such an interesting thing. And one thing I'm curious, you know, a few times you've said this idea of like a suppressed identity. And when we look at incongruency, would you say that incongruency and a suppressed identity, are they almost one in the same? Or can you share with us a little bit more about this suppressed identity? Because I think it's an interesting thing, right? It's like the strongest force we have as a human is to live in alignment with who we believe we are, aka our identity. So if we have an identity, but we feel like we should have a different identity, it's this like crazy conflict that we can, you know, bash our head against the wall on. So like, can you expand a little bit more upon that? I think it's such an interesting way to talk about it.
Yes. Yes. And it is absolutely. Okay. So now I'm going to go to one of our clients. So one of our clients is actually an attorney. So I like to use him as an example, because most people think like, oh, our coaching institute, you only work with coaches. Yeah. Yes. And coaches, or people who want to add coaching skills to their livelihood. So we do we do work with people in corporate America. We do work with people, doctors, lawyers, therapists, like different people who want to add these skills, teachers, and anyone in sales can use this information. So Gray, one of our clients, he is an attorney. He's been an attorney for 30 years. He did not want to be an attorney. He's a very, very successful attorney. And he also was, and he this story is completely published everywhere. I have his permission to share the story. I just want to make sure I make sure people understand that I do have permission to just share that story. So when he came to us, he was on his fourth marriage, not really sure if he was going to have a fourth divorce. He did have his fourth marriage. He had zero relationship with his grown sons. He had zero relationship with his family. He was burnt out as an attorney. He was a divorce attorney for over 30 years. And he thought that he wanted to switch over and go fully into spirituality. So he went and lived, you know, in India for a year thinking that was his solution. And he came back to us, or he came to us, excuse me, after he got back from that, he found us, he was referred by one of our clients, and he sat down with us and he realized what he needed to heal. He became an attorney because that's what he was told to do. His dad told him, you're an attorney, I'm an attorney, your brother's an attorney, your uncle's an attorney, your cousin's an attorney, you will be an attorney. So what did he do is he started suppressing who he truly was in order to live the way that your influence and your environment tell you to live. Now, he knew he had some type of spirituality, but he didn't really know what that was. So his world around him was telling him that you are not living congruently. You are truly incongruent. You can't keep a marriage. You have zero relationship with your sons. You're not making you're making money and spending it, right? He'd make, you know, $750,000, $800,000 a year, but he'd spend $1 million. So he was not enjoying life, which, you know, we all can do that, right? You make $1,000, spend $1,100, make $100, spend $101. So we're all in, it doesn't matter. You're just broke at a different level. Okay. So so he started living in this identity that wasn't his. We started doing all of this work and releasing all of those negative thoughts and emotions, releasing the identities that weren't serving him. Being a lawyer as an identity was not serving him at all. So he comes and goes through our breakthrough process. He does what we call an identity shift process, which is just one of our terms, but it's basically doing the breakthrough to release all of that. He actually had to leave our international retreat early because he was hosting a family reunion because he healed his family. Let's who hadn't talked to his son in 5 years, now they have monthly barbecues. He went from being a burnt out attorney to actually working, and he has a Netflix special that's coming out. He now has created a certification for lawyers called the Enlightened Lawyer, and he's endorsed by the American Bar Association and speaks on that. And he is now happier than ever with his beautiful wife. They are not anywhere near divorce. He moved to Florida. He also went from earning that $750 a year to buying a Bentley. Now, again, none of this is to impress any of you. None of this is to impress you. None of this to impress you. It is to impress upon you. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. Do you have to have already made $750,000? No, he was freaking miserable, Stu. He was miserable. He was angry. He was, you know, he was very dug in his ways and beliefs. He would fight constantly. His health was not serving him. So it's not about the money. None of this was to hear you all about the money. Is what does your life look like? And he actually, the reason he also came to mind is he just wrote another message to us. He just put it in our Facebook group about talking to people about doing this work. Because he goes, there's no way I could have had this relationship with my son, with my wife, hosting a family reunion. He goes, I would basically do everything I could to get away from my family. Money, moved, bought a new house, got a new car, and is absolutely living in a spiritual, and he is 1,000,000% congruent. When you're that's congruent so cool. with who you, so he was suppressing that identity. And mine, you know, I will share the story is, so I was married. I was a cop's wife for 25 years. Yes, it was. It's a was, because I also had an identity as a mom. I had an identity of a cop's wife. And I also said, I would never be a statistic. I will never say, you know, I married a cop. I'm going to be the one that's going to persevere. I would not be a statistic. So yeah. Then trauma, PTSD, and addiction all played a part in my marriage. And I was not willing to clean all that up. I cleaned that up. My ex-husband and I, now we've been divorced. We have the best, we have amazing relationship now, way more than we did when we were married, because I was not willing to live like that anymore. I was not willing to live with that, with me suppressing who I was, because I've adopted this identity outside of me that my inner ego was holding on to. Once I released all of that and found that who I am truly and how I help people, I was able to manifest an amazing divorce. We have a great relationship. The kids, we have two daughters. I have the best relationship with them. And I couldn't understand how I stayed in that for about eight years. It should have ended about 8 years before it did. Which is what it that way too. But it was because I wasn't willing to go figure out why it wasn't working. So where are you stuck in your life, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. Where are you holding on to an identity that is not serving you anymore? And I literally would not get a divorce because I was not going to be a statistic. Great. Hello. Do you know how asinine that sounds now, Stu? Me being so happy in my life. My business took off. My relationship with my kids took off. I have a better relationship with my ex-husband than I ever did. I mean, we got married in our like early 20s. Like 22, 23, like I was not willing to do that.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing to say to and repeat what you said. It's like, what identity are you holding on that's not serving you? Right. It's like
anymore.
That's not serving you anymore. Right. It's like, you may have this identity and it worked for you for a while. And I think sometimes the nature of humans is like, we want to hold on to what's familiar, and maybe there's an identity that's familiar, but it's not necessarily the one that's going to serve you. And you know, one thing to change the page a little bit, but also stay on a similar page, is like, I know a big part of your life and your work is bringing in intuition, right? And using intuition to kind of navigate you through your life. And I'm curious, when you were in that moment, and for any of our listeners that are maybe going through a transition in their life, right? Whether it's, you know, going to the next stage of their purpose in their life or some other transition, what's a way that they can start to use their intuition to become more congruent in their life?
Best question ever is, ladies and gentlemen, your intuition is the translator between your conscious and your unconscious mind. If you are not congruent, if your conscious mind wants something and your unconscious mind is over here and they're not in alignment, how you get them in alignment is using your intuition. It is the translator between the conscious and the unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind is very abstract, speaks in symbols. Your conscious mind is very detailed and wants specifics. So your intuition is what allows them to communicate with each other. So how can you use your intuition? So, and I'll go over these briefly, but there is four steps. The first step is, you have to first understand that you have an intuition. So if you have an intuition and with me, when I knew that I was going to have to leave corporate America, I didn't know it was my intuition at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was I just had this feeling and I quit. And I went home and I told my husband, I'm like, I don't work in corporate America anymore. He's like, hello, you make half our income. I said, doesn't matter. I want to be an entrepreneur. This is in 2002. It was the last time I held a full-time job in corporate. So I quit. Then the next thing is, you have to understand, how does your intuition communicate with you? Some of you see things, some of you hear things, some of you feel things, like that gut feeling, some of you know.
Yeah.
So the second thing is, you have to truly dive into how you have to understand how your intuition communicates with you. It's different. Stu, the third piece is the hardest piece for people. They think it's the hardest piece. I actually think step four is the hardest. They think step three, which is trusting it. People don't trust their intuition. They know it's their intuition. They know that gut feeling. They don't trust it. And so then step four, they don't take the inspired action. So to me, it's the hardest part. I think more people trust their intuition than they let on. It's where then they don't take the step. Why? Because of exactly what you just said. It's because our inner ego, our inner critic, and our inner child know how to do the problem as we've been doing the problem. It's the unknown. They don't want to go into the unknown. Your intuition's like, hello, I'm always kind. I always have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
I am your GPS system, which means if you think you made the wrong turn, guess what? You didn't. I will direct you to where you need to go. It's that taking that leap. I always use the metaphor and date myself a little bit here if I haven't already. But we've all seen, hopefully we've all seen Indiana Jones and the one where he goes and searches for the Holy Grail. And if he's going through, do you remember where he's standing on the cliff and he has to go out and he has to step? That's one of the things to get through the, and he has to just take faith and he just has to step. And then once he steps, the road appears. That's where most people are. The road is there, ladies and gentlemen. Your intuition has got you. They will never lead you in the wrong way. Okay. Even if you don't listen to your intuition, it'll redirect you. It's a GPS, no judgment. Just take that step and your intuition will lead you. So to me, I think it's the hardest part. So first you have to understand that you have, first you have to know you have one, then you have to understand how it communicates, then you have to trust it, and then you have to take the inspired action. You do those things, you will create the life that you want. You will have, you will know what identity needed, what need didn't get met, and what identity is suppressed, it will come out. You will, your intuition shows you how source sees you. How, whatever your definition of source is, I have no challenge, whatever that is for any of you. It could be God, it could be the universe, it could be universal consciousness, whatever it is for you, the universe. Your intuition is the one that's communicating with you as how source sees you, as you were here before your identity got suppressed, before any of your needs weren't getting met.
I love that.
Your intuition shows you who you are. It showed me that I could go launch a business and be successful. And I did. It showed me that I could support myself and create a business and raise my girls and do all these things. I did not deserve to be in the marriage anymore. That was not serving me. And I had to learn about me and who I was. So I had to, my intuition told me who I was. The divorce worked out great. I was able to, you know, buy him out of the house. The kids are great, love my life. And it's all because I followed my intuition and I took those inspired action steps. So it's not just about knowing you have one. It's using it. It is always kind. It always will lead you in the direction, in the direction that's going to serve you, and will always have the answers. So you just have to develop, but it's like a muscle, Stu. You have to work it out. You have to develop it. And one of the things that I'd love to give as we wrap up here is a meditation series that will help people do exactly that. I would love to offer that to them at no cost so that they can go through the process of developing and trusting their intuition and taking that action.
I love it. And I think an interesting part to add to it too is like just the idea when it comes to trusting it and taking the inspired action is the idea of faith and fear. Right. And it's like when you're trusting it, when you're going to take this inspired action, a question you can ask yourself to see if you are in alignment in there is am I taking this action out of faith or am I not taking this action out of fear? Right. And you want to live more in alignment with that faith. That's going to be more incongruent with your intuition. So I think that's just another good sort of checkpoint you can use there to say, yes, this may be scary. Yes, this may be unfamiliar. Yes, this may feel uncomfortable, but I'm stepping in faith, not in fear. So that's another just reminder that it's a step in the right direction.
Exactly. And one of the cool things that you just said is all negative emotions are derivatives of fear. All negative emotions are, and fear is just an illusion.
Well, that's
good. How you dispel the illusion is by asking your intuition, what are the qualities and characteristics about myself that will allow me to take that step in faith? And it's you're strong, you're brave, you're courageous, you're empathetic, you're compassionate, you're intelligent. It's and your intuition gives these to you. And because your other three voices could be really loud. Your inner ego, your inner critic, and your inner child. They could be a little bit, they're the ones that are like, well, it's not, you know, you're, it's not safe. You won't make it. You're not like them. You're not smart enough. No. Thank you. And intuition. What are my really true qualities and characteristics? And then that gives you that faith to step into, because again, even if you quote unquote think you make the wrong decision, there is no wrong decision. There's no wrong step.
I love that.
Because your intuition just redirects you like GPS, no judgment. Yeah. You needed to make that step because you needed the learnings.
Yeah. Can you
So that also
little...
gives you grace. You give yourself grace. Ladies and gentlemen, please give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Yes. What can I? Yes, okay. I can absolutely.
Yeah. I was saying, can you tell us a little bit more about those three other voices? Because I think it's interesting, right? When you hear intuition, and I've heard you talk about this before, right? It's like there's other voices that pop into your head. So it's important to be able to differentiate, okay, which one's intuition, which one's maybe one of these other three. So can you give us a little bit of a further idea of what those are?
So your inner ego is the one who is defending the identity that you have, whether it serves you or not. Your inner ego shows up as defensive, rigid, and right. They're righteous. I am right. I'm going to do it this way. And so the other cool thing about these three inner voices, though, as we tell this, is they all have a beautiful job. So please, they are part of you. So no, please, blaming, shaming, locking them in a cage in the back of your mind and telling them to shut up and giving them nasty names. Nope. Yeah. They, if you can rethink of these three inner voices as the warning light, as your gaslight coming on in your car, as the little, they can be annoying as the fired alarm battery going off. They can be that annoying.
Yeah.
And they have a purpose. Hey, can you please go to your intuition? You have something to learn here.
Yeah, I like
that. So if you're righteous, if you're rigid, you are protecting your identity. That was me when I was like, no, I can't divorce. My work is so powerful. I will fix my husband. Well, guess what? He kind of needed to want to be fixed. I did release all of his trauma and I did release all of his PTSD. The addiction he was not willing to release, not a problem. I decided that it was not my responsibility and we got a divorce and now he's living his great best life. So am I. So my inner ego wanted to fix him. Okay. Now your inner critic. Your inner critic likes the problems. It knows how to deal with the problems as you deal with them now. So it likes your problems right now because it knows how to deal with them. You could be in the worst situation in your life. You could be in trauma, PTSD, and addiction right now. And your inner critic is like, I don't care. I know how to deal with this. I know how to do my coping mechanism. I know how to justify. I know how to blame other people. Please don't make me go do something else because I know how to deal with the problem the way that it is. So your inner critic is trying to keep you where you're at. Don't go do that because it's not, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're not smart enough for that because it doesn't know what to do. So then when you go to your intuition for your inner ego, your intuition is going to say, hey, but you are strong. You are brave. You are resourceful. Oh, I am. I don't have to fix him. I'm powerful for me. Yeah. And then your inner ego will quiet and you go do it. Your inner critic, you're like, no, you are smart enough. You do deserve this. This is your path. Then you'll go take the steps. Now your inner child is where you're hurt, sad, and abandonment comes in your inner child. So it wants to be safe. So any time that you have your inner child is acting up, your inner child is trying to keep you safe because it doesn't want to get hurt and it doesn't want to be sad anymore. So it won't move forward. So again, if you go to your intuition and you realize this is how you can be safe internally, whether it's mentally safe, emotionally safe, physically safe, or spiritually safe, people have challenges in all of those areas, your inner child will act. Well, the powerful thing is, Stu, is that once you learn these things about your inner other three, we say which I is talking to you. Is it your intuition, your inner critic, your inner child, or your inner ego? You want to ask yourself, which I is talking? Are you trying to be dug in? Are you trying not to grow? Or are you trying to be safe? Which one is talking? If you can go to the intuition, then you start uncovering that identity that was suppressed. You start trusting it and you start taking the inspired action. And then you can start giving those three inner voices new jobs. Your inner ego can then turn into healthy confidence. Your inner critic can turn into your greatest cheerleader. And your inner child becomes your playful side. So you can actually give them new jobs. Right now, they run amok. and we get mad and we get stuck. So we're mad at them. If you can get your intuition to talk to them and find out, what are they trying to tell you? What is that gaslight on trying to tell you? What is that beeping in the fire alarm trying to tell you? You learn that, then you can give them new jobs, and then you integrate them all with your intuition. And then that's how you start setting a goal and hitting it, setting a goal and hitting it, yeah. setting a goal, getting a learning and then hitting it, setting a goal, not hitting it, going, oh, I wonder what I needed to learn.
Yeah.
And then go from there. And then you start hearing from your intuition more than your other three inner voices. So that's truly what we teach. And yeah. that's how you find the solution and the releasing and all of that, negative thoughts and emotions in your life. Yeah. They serve a purpose, but let's not let them run our lives. Let's get the learnings and move on.
Yeah. I love the idea too, that it's, you know, I think sometimes there can be this idea. It's like, this is part of me. I need to like you said, shame it or like lock it up or do something with it. But you're like, that's part of who you are. Like, don't deny that or suppress that. Like, just realize that that has a specific purpose. And if you can learn to understand the language that it's speaking to you, it can actually be very beneficial, but it's a different voice, right? So it's yes. Thank you so much for expanding upon those.
Yes, there's you use one of our words. We say committed, consistent, and congruent. So it's like you use one of our words. Yeah. Is if you continue to separate them, then you're definitely not congruent. You're giving the universe mixed signals. You're like, hey, I want to be congruent, but I'm going to ignore and blame and shame this part of me. Yeah. That doesn't serve anybody in any stretch of any imagination.
Yeah.
It's, you have to understand that you're whole and complete exactly the way that you are. Mm. You are absolutely whole and complete. You are learning about yourself, and these inner voices, these eyes, are opportunities for you to learn more and more and more about yourself.
Yeah.
So they are not bad or negative. They are who you are, that you deserve to learn the learnings from them so you can understand yourself better and grow into your truth. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life. My 16-year-old daughter does this work. My 20-year-old daughter actually in college wrote papers on this. Yeah. And she's been called in by two different psychology professors asking her to explain this work. And one of them is like, you need to go get a PhD in psychology. Yeah. She wants to open a school for this. And she's 20 years old. So and cool. She loves this work because it helps reframe. Like, they grew up in the household where there was a mental and emotional abuse. They had to release that. And now they have a great relationship with their dad, with me. Mm. They had to get over blaming and being mad at me for staying as long as I did. That put them in that. So that's, they got to release all of that. That's, you get so to cool. release, and now they're stepping into who they truly are and growing in their own space. So it doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter if you're gray and you're in your 60s, if you're, you know, like my, you're in your 20s, my business partner's in his 30s. He's completely creating a life that he wants, attracting. Yeah. When you clean up one area of life, Stu, the thing that's so powerful is it starts reflecting in other areas of your life. Hmm. So if you find that root cause, then all of your lives, your health gets better, everywhere. Your intimate relationship gets better, your self-expression, your self-love gets better, your family gets better, your business, your wealth, everything gets better when you find that root cause, because you'll just project it somewhere else if you don't clean it up. So that's what's so powerful.
So beautiful. Well, Jen, this has been a joy to dive into your life and pick your brain and just learn about everything you do. It's been so, 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 so valuable. And thank you so much for being here. I'm curious, for our listener who wants to hang out with you more, get to know you more. I know you mentioned a meditation. Where's the best place for our listener to dive into your world?
Yes. So Genius Unlocked Coaching Institute, you can find us on all the socials. We most likely our Facebook group, which is what I'd love to invite you to. So in the show notes, and I'll give this to you, Stu, there's going to be a meditation. We call it like a meditation challenge. And what it is it's meditations that will take you from step one, A to Z, of developing that connection with your intuition. So even if you're not a big meditator, it's okay, because we don't meditate to relax. We meditate to get learning. So it's just about how to communicate with your unconscious mind. So if this is of any interest to you, I encourage you to do that. But yes, you can find us on any geniusunlocked.coach is our website that talks about our different coaching modalities and the different ways that we support people. Yes, people come to us just for the releasing work of their own, or if you have any type of a business that you want to have these coaching skills in, you can come connect with us. Or if you want to do more on the personal development side, we're all here. We're here for that. So, Stu, thank you so much for this conversation. Yeah. This was great. I love this work. I talk about it anytime. And any information that you all have, just let me know that you came from Stu and this podcast. And we'll connect even more. So I'm excited.
Right. Absolutely. And so I do have one last question for you. It's
absolutely.
A question we ask to all of our guests, just because we believe...
Yes.
In helping people find direction, but we want to do it through action, right? Obviously something you're a big fan of. And so I'm curious, our last question for you is, what is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Love this question. And we even say inspired action, ladies and gentlemen, because inspired action comes from your intuition. So this is what I would say. The very first action that I would have you do is I would have you write down your goal. I would write down what you think you are stopping you from getting it. Then I would ask your intuition. You can even do it like with your eyes open. Just ask your intuition and just say, what is one thing that I can learn about myself so I can go take this inspired action step? Because writing it down brings it conscious, right? Because it's in your unconscious mind. So it brings it conscious. Write down what you think your blocks are and then ask your intuition, what do I get to learn about that? And then listen to one of the meditations that you'll get. So when this gets published, it'll be in the show notes. So click on the show notes and listen to the very, very first meditation. It's called Meet Your Intuition. That's what I would have you do. And then you can go from there.
Okay. Love it. Love it. Well, Jen, thank you again so much for being here. It's been an absolute joy and we massively appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Heck yeah. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for a life less than one that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you took some nuggets, multiple nuggets from that episode with Jen, and I hope you take what she likes to call some inspired action to really create a life that you love. Other than that, my friend, that is all we have for you this week. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can continue to join us. And other than that, I will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.